This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're going to be listening to a suite of music from a somewhat mysterious French composer named Louis Decay d'Hervelois. We don't know that much about d'Hervelois' life. We do know that he was born around 1677. We know some of the places that he lived, some of the students that he taught, and the fact that he probably studied under certain teachers. But we don't know that much about the narrative of his life, what happened to him, none of his letters or his diaries, nothing like that to give a sense of what d'Hervelois was like as a person. One of the few things that we do have is from a note of someone who is essentially telling him to practice somewhere else. He was practicing in a church at the time, and apparently he was annoying one of the clergy, who said a room under the stairs might be a less intrusive place. So that's one of the few stories from his life that we have, and I know it doesn't sound promising, but after all that practicing, it did finally pay off, and he was known as one of the masters of the viol, a cello-like instrument that was popular in the 16 and 1700s. Unlike many of his fellow musicians, d'Hervelois was never employed as a court musician, which was usually a coveted position due to its stability. And again, we're not sure whether he didn't seek out that kind of employment or whether he just was unlucky and did not get any of those kinds of jobs. But we do know that instead he made a living as an independent musician, and he had many students around Paris, including members of the royal family. D'Hervelois lived through an exciting period for French music, and for Paris in particular. He was born during the reign of Louis XIV, possibly the most powerful king in French history. He was king for 72 years, the longest reign in European history, and he had a country that was at the height of its powers. If you go to Paris, one of the must-see stops is just outside the city, the palace at Versailles. It's absolutely gorgeous. That was Louis XIV's doing. He was the one who moved full-time to Versailles from Paris, and he spent the equivalent of a couple billion dollars to build the beautiful palace and grounds that you can see today. He also built the Hôtel des Invalides, another must-see site, a huge monument, the final resting place for a host of French military heroes, including Napoleon. And he invested heavily in the arts, including music. All of this spending, and especially on the arts, wasn't just because that he loved the arts, he loved architecture, even though he was a very accomplished dancer. He danced in a bunch of different ballets. He saw the arts as an extension of his power, a way to promote himself and project a grand image to both his subjects and the world at large. The same goes for the extensive work he did in Paris, including installing streetlights, establishing a police force. He cared about the artists, and he cared to a certain extent about the citizens of Paris, but he also cared very much about his image. And he wanted to control the people who controlled his image. It's telling that he shut down a theater that was producing a satirical play about his wife, and it's also telling that there was significant unrest among the lower classes during the end of his reign. His generosity seems to have been focused much more on the nobility than on the common folk. Louis XIV died in 1715, and his successor, creatively titled Louis XV, continued to foster an artistic atmosphere in Paris. He even loosened some of the restrictions that the church had pushed for, brought back that theater company that had been banned by Louis XIV, and continued to building big, beautiful buildings. And d'Hervelois would have been just a small part of the thriving music scene in Paris, and he would have benefited from being in such a vibrant city. Certainly, finding students for an independent teacher would have been a lot easier in that context. When he died in 1759, the city was still a few decades away from the terror and the bloodshed of the revolution that would topple Louis XVI. This suite has been compiled from pieces from d'Hervelois' collection of music for the viol, and it's been arranged for oboe demoré, bassoon, and harpsichord. It's kind of a medley of some of his greatest hits from those collections. Here's Jennifer Paul, Christine Sartoretti, and Stefano Canuti with the suite that they're calling La Gracieuse by Louis Decay d'Hervelois. Thank you.
Thank you.
Even though we don't know that much about Dervalois, we do know that he could write some great music, and he was well known in his day as both a master of the viol and as a composer. Sometimes maybe you don't need to know as much about the context, even though that's really what this podcast is about. Sometimes the music is all that suffices. Well, thanks to Jennifer Paul and Christine Sartoretti and Stefano Canuti for putting that up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening. If you get the chance, please rate and review this podcast wherever it is that you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and next week for your classical break, we're going to listen to some Mendelssohn, some Schumann, and we'll start things off with a contemporary of Dervalois, a few hundred miles to the east, Bach and his 6th Brandenburg Concerto. I'll see you then.